Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 12, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter Into Action, and we are on page 84, and we are going to read down, count down rather, 8 lines from the top. With the beginning of the sentence to study, we will intuitively know how to handle, and we'll read down through the bottom of the first paragraph, which ends with materialize if we work for them. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Stephanie F., the 12 traditions, Valerie B., and reading the text today and support is Liz T., Marilyn T., and Marie J. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that would have been Wednesday, July 11th, is 11650, 11,650 for the 10 a.m. yesterday. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that would be Thursday, July 12th, that share ID is 11654, 11,654. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie F. to read the 12 steps.
Can I be heard?
You can.
Good morning. Stephanie F., a compulsive overeater from Westminster, Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie F. I will now ask Valerie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Hello, this is Valerie B., a recovering compulsive overeater from Maryland. And these are the 12 traditions. Okay. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Valerie B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study in the Big Book, in the chapter Into Action. And we're going to be on page 84, counting 8 lines down from the top. You'll see a sentence on the far right that starts with, "We will intuitively know." And then we're going to read down through the bottom of the first paragraph, which ends with, "Materialize if we work for them." And I will ask Liz T. to open up this meeting today by reading that passage there and sharing on it. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And I was just reading through this, you know, a couple minutes ago, and it just is so profound and just warms my heart to read these lines. I was reflecting back the first time I heard these 9-step promises read in the rooms, and, you know, it just seemed so, I was so new to the program, and it just seemed so, distant or, just impossible. Even the words, you know, self-pity, uselessness, disappearing, now I know after going through the steps and working steps 1 through 9, what those words really mean. You know, I've worked with someone that we break down the words, we look up words, we look up definitions, we share back and forth on our experience. And so we really, you know, pull these words apart and really study this book. And that there's a difference between, you know, studying the book, reading the lines, and actually working the steps and doing it as it's outlined. So I'm grateful to have that experience and to be able to pass that along to others and not be such a loosey-goosey, blind leading the blind approach to working with others that I had in the past, where sometimes we were, you know, basically food buddies, you know, or that this is a manner of living, a new way of life that we get to work together as a fellowship, one by one, helping each other. And so the other part that stood out to me is, you know, they will always materialize if we work for them. You know, I thought I was a hard worker. I grew up on a farm. My parents were farmers, you know. They worked dawn till dusk. And I realized a lot of that was, you know, self-will. It was self-will. No regrets about my childhood or anything. But, you know, I realized that work comes in different forms, and work doesn't always have to be drudgery. You know, this can be a beautiful unfolding of our lives. And that's been a beautiful gift of the program and a promise for me that life doesn't have to be drudgery. It can be fulfilling and enjoyable as a result of working these steps, and that we learn a skill set through steps 1 through 9, and just being in touch with my powerlessness. And feel free to let me know when I'm out of time. Just being in touch with my powerlessness and my unmanageability when I'm trying to run on self-will and self-propulsion, that got me nowhere. And when I turned my will and my life over to the care of God in step 3, it really is turning my thoughts and my behaviors over and asking God into my daily activities, what is best for me, because I really don't know. My best thinking got me into the 12-step rooms, and it truly is coming for the vanity. You know, I came for weight loss but I stayed for the sanity, and really I came for the sanity too. When I look back, I was so desperate and so helpless, and we have so many beautiful gifts that come as a result. And for anyone new, I just encourage you to stick around and stay close. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. We are in the big book in the chapter Into Action, and we are on page 84, starting at the top. If you count down 8 lines, you'll see a sentence that begins with, "We will intuitively know." And then we're going to read through the first paragraph, which ends with, "Materialize if we work for them." So if you're prepared, I'd like to take some names to see who else would like to comment on those lines.
Marie J.
Hi, Marie.
Julie E.
Jen A.
Julie E. B. and Jen A.
Barbara P.
Barbara P. Yeah.
Christy
Tanya.
G.
Christy G.
Tanya.
Stephanie.
Did I hear Tanya?
Yes.
Tanya, what's your first initial of your last name?
W.
Tanya W. Thank you. And then I heard Stephanie. Is that Stephanie F, like Frank?
Yes, please.
Okay, that's all I'm going to take for this particular lineup, so we give others another chance when we mix them up again. I have Marie J, Julie E. B, Jen A, Barbara P, Christy G, Tanya W, and Stephanie F. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Melanie. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. This is Marie J, and I'm recovered in Colorado. And in this particular promise, all I have to do is stay in conscious contact with God and maintain a spiritual fit condition. And then I'm in, I like to call it God flow, higher power flow. I'm tuned into this power that's greater than me. And the power is a power I can't explain. I can't define it, but I know it's there. And this power, this God power, is my guidance, and it's the direction for my life. And it's just always there. And the only requirement I have is to work these principles. And when I say the only requirement you know, even though they can be hard, working the steps, working in this program, I say that I only have to work these principles because after a time, after I've reached food neutrality through abstinence, and after I've reached recovery through working the 12 steps, then maintaining my spiritual condition is the only condition that I have to maintain my recovery. So it's just reinforcing this relationship and contact with the power that got me there in the first place. And that's not hard to do. This is a power that saved my life. And the only thing in the way of me having the intuitive knowledge of what to do next is what's between my ears. It's my thinking. It's my belief that being in control is healthy. My belief that self-reliance is preferable to God-reliance. And that's all that blocks me from the power being in my life and the power running my life. And it gets a lot easier as I grow in working these steps and I move forward through recovery. This promises the natural order of things. It's intuitively knowing how God wants me to handle nearly every situation in my life. And when I don't, I just pause. I pause and I connect. And the answers will come if I am sincere and I look toward the power of God. God is always doing for me. And sometimes I look toward God and get the direction and execute on the guidance. And sometimes I look away. And that's just being human and being imperfect. I can always look toward this power. I can always connect in. I can always have what God wants me to do. And my life is happy, joyous, and free. These are all the promises, and they're all true in my life now for 2 years now almost. And it's just really quite remarkable because when I first read these promises before recovery, it's like, there's no way. There's just no way. And it's true. And we just have to do these simple principles, these steps, and stay neutral with our food through abstinence, and we get to have this. We get to have this freedom. Thanks, Pass.
Thank you, Marie J. Julie E.B., you're next, and then Jen will come after you.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Excuse me. Intuitively know how to solve problems. I didn't solve problems. We gather, we meet for those who are still suffering on this line and not on this line with this terrible illness. And my problem didn't get solved. I lived in the problem. My problem got bigger as I tied it to resentment that I had from my past. My problem got bigger as I tied it to fears I had about my future. My problems got bigger as I thought about the harm I did to other people. And so I lived, as the big book tells me, blotting out the consciousness, the awakeness of my intolerable situation as best as I could. Or I could seek spiritual help. What a difference. What a difference to seek something outside of myself, to talk to a sponsor, to talk to fellows, to ask God, as it says here, to do for me what I could not do for myself, and to be free, to be free of those old resentments and the need to tie it up, and those fears of what might happen, and the need to tie my life up, and the hurts I've done to the past, and the ability to just act, trying to dodge and avoid those people or that pain or those character defects. Now, I can listen, I can reach out, I can have problems, but they have solutions. And sometimes I make mistakes, as the awakening prayer says. Sometimes my intuition leads me down a road because after all, I'm new at trusting something greater than myself for solutions. But that's okay too. Because for today, I can seek to be useful. I can seek that next abstinent meal. I can seek that next awakeness, not to my problems that need blotting out, but an awakeness to the solution and to the higher power who wants me to have solutions. It doesn't mean the thorny things in life are gone, but as I accept them and as I have the courage to change the things I can, God brings serenity. And I'm thankful for this program today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Jen A., you're next, and then Barbara P. will come after you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Jen A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Colorado. Wow, I love how our reader kicked it off with vanity and sanity, right? Vanity and sanity is what I came here for, and what did I come with? Expectations. My expectation was I was already connected to God, and you know what? I used God as my bitch. I thought that God would give me everything that I wanted. And want versus need, right? That's why what I'm teaching my kids today. What is that? And what I didn't know was that I didn't need any of those things. And that's why those things weren't happening in my life. So as I came into this program, I at first I was really compliant, and I checked the boxes, and I did the things, because I heard that if you come into this program and if you do these 12 steps, the way they're designed and laid out, then you're going to have this miraculous change. Well, the one part that was left out for me that I didn't hear was that surrendering to a higher power, and that I had to put God in the driver's seat and I had to get out. Once I got out of the driver's seat and I was no longer using God, right? God showed me through the work of uncovering, discovering, and discarding who I am and who He wants me to be. And the miraculous change was the change in my heart. That was the miraculous part, because I chose to surrender, and I do on a daily basis. That's, you know, part of my morning prayer meditation is I surrender my life and my will over. My heart is now transformed, and it's now to a place where I don't need and I don't want and I don't ask for the things that aren't right for me. I ask for God's will to be done in my life. And, you know, just for instance, like the things it says, God's doing for me what I can't do for myself today. I sat in a meeting last night with a teenage son, his dad, and his bonus mom discussing, you know, the consequences of vaping. And, you know, here I sat there calm and collected, and just I didn't have to have my way, and I didn't have to shame my 16-year-old. And I just sat there and loved him unconditionally as God loves me unconditionally. That's what I've learned from this program. But yet I was allowed to share my truth and what I have learned from this program, and it just came out naturally. It wasn't anything I planned before I went in there. God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, what I've never done before, because I like to go in and tell my kid, nope, you're bad, you've done this, here's the consequence. So now that's unexpected. That is the miraculous. I'm so grateful for this program and how it changes every little thing in my life. And so I'm going to continue to stay right with God, right with myself, and right with others by continuing on this journey. Thanks for being a part of it, and I pass.
Thank you, Jen A. Barbara P., you're next, and then Christy will come after you. That'll be Christy G. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning. Hi, this is Barbara P. from Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, the promises feel so tied to if I work for them, if we work for them. And part of it was the initial work that I needed to do these steps. And it felt like work at the time. You know, thank God, today, being a recovered compulsive overeater, it doesn't feel like work most of the time. And that's so, but we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. I think some of the intuition comes now from practicing new behaviors as a result of work in the steps. I learned how to deal with some situations, particularly the things that I do to set off problems and challenges. And I just was on a long vacation with my husband, and it was so clear to me one morning, I just woke up with so much self-pity. And just full of it, just woke up with it, full of it, about what he wasn't doing. And it occurred to me pretty soon after I started doing my you know, kind of morning practice that, hey, guess what? Let me think about the things he was doing. There was so much that he was doing, But I, you know, I don't always wake up focused on that. I woke up, my old self would only look at the negative. And now today I've learned some new practices, and I think my higher power was right in the midst saying, Barb, that's not the way we live today. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I can't get out of that negative just by myself, but I can if I'm plugged in. A lot of that vacation, I got full of self-will. I'm not always wanting to plug in. Somehow, somebody mentioned the belief that freedom comes from not having to plug in, but that's not the truth of it. The truth today is when I plug in, I get complete freedom from the food, but also from my negative thinking, from all those things that cause me problems. So for today, I'm living in the solution gratefully and happily, and I don't want to resist any of it today. So I'm grateful for that. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Barbara P. Christy G., you're next, and then Tanya will come in after you.
Hi, this is Christy G. Can I be heard? Good morning, everyone. Christy D. Southern California is where I live, but right now I'm currently looking over the north rim of the Grand Canyon in Arizona, and it is gorgeous, and it reminds me of just how big our God is, if you want to call him higher power, and how small we are in relation to this passage, just the whole problem-solving thing. Vacation can bring up either like really amazing things or not so great things, but one thing it does is it magnifies the time that you're spending, at least for me with my spouse, it's just the two of us. And, you know, it's easy to, just as the speaker said before me, it's easy to get into the self-will and everything, but I just think about other vacations that we've been on in the past and how different this one is. We're on our third day, I believe. And my goodness, there's, you know, so much that has happened that could have, you know, in the past set me in a tailspin and just had me so negative about, but instead, it had me go the other way. And, you know, I, the only way I can do that is with God and program. And, you know, from power outage in the middle of the night and just stressful things, like even this morning, not making it to Grand Canyon by sunrise. But, you know, God's timing. And through this program, like I used to try and be a problem solver, but now I'm just like, I'm not the one that's supposed to solve the problem. So, you know, just kind of keeping myself in fit spiritual condition every morning, starting the day out the same with God and with my prayers and my devotions and letting God do the rest. And I think that when we can do that and just stop trying to control everything, for a lot of us, that's what a major problem is, and just realize how small we are and how big this world is around us, you know, that a lot of times we thought it was coming in on top of it, and so we'd go to the food. But, you know, coming to find out in recovery that it's not about the food, it's not about alcohol, it's not about drugs, it's about just ourself, our self-will, our selfishness, and all of our defects. And when we can let those go to God, then it's just a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place. It's not perfect, but it's amazing. So with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Christy G. Tanya, you're next. That'd be Tanya W., and then Stephanie will follow you.
Hi, this is Tanya, compulsive overeater from Kansas. So great. Well, from Kansas heading to Oklahoma. Okay, so picking up my kid, meeting them in Tulsa. It's from my sister's in Texas. So I have a midpoint to pick up my son. And I just want to thank everybody for this phone meeting. It's so amazing how I can, you know, I'm going to be on the road for over 8 hours, but I can have recovery the whole way if I want, you know, connect. So thank you. I think what stuck out with me from that reading was the sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And that's definitely been my case. The slowly is probably more because my surrender level was not as high. I don't know. I'm just grateful. I did come in program for the sanity. And I wish I could almost weigh, you know, my mental weight that I had of the crazy when I came in. I wish I could weigh it, you know, but, cause I just feel like I've dumped so much mental weight and around food, and I'm reminded of how much I've dumped that mental weight, because even on this trip, I'm able to enjoy the green and the trees. I can watch the hawks. I can see the water. And just the beauty while driving, and be grateful and not thinking about, you know, what exit I can stop at for food, or what am I going to eat at lunch, and all this stuff. So I'm just reminded of how far I've come in that way. So you do have to share with the slowly is there's a couple things that have popped up, food-wise, new things that it's time to take a look at, you know, to sit down. And so maybe be honest about that and talk to my sponsor in that, and, you know, just continue to be honest. And I know, again, I'll continue to get recovery as I surrender to the willingness. And, I'm just grateful over the summer break that each trip I get to see progress, you know, and I get a chance. I do believe that God continues to give me a chance over and over and over. If I need to learn something or practice something or hear the intuition again, I am 100% positive that God will put that in front of me again and again, so that I can have an opportunity to practice. So, again, thank you for the meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Tanya W. Just briefly here to let you know, we are on page 84 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, chapter Into Action, starting with 8 lines down from the top, with the sentence that begins with, "We will intuitively know," and then we'll read through the first paragraph, and that ends with "materialize if we work for them," if you'd like to comment on that. And for now, I'd like to call on Stephanie F. to share with us on those lines, and then I'll open it up again for a few more. Good morning, Stephanie. Star one, please.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Hey.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Stephanie F. from Westminster, Colorado. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful for this meeting and the readings that we do this morning. Today's really popped out at me for a couple reasons. The first piece that really aligns with kind of where I am feeling with regards to my program is things will always materialize if we work for them. And for me personally, I have a pretty deep-seated resentment that I'm working through. And if we look to page 64, it talks about how resentment is something that can take us out and how important it is to work on those kinds of things. And I'm very new to program, and I am just in the beginning of my steps. So I'm kind of applying various things that I've seen throughout the book. But certainly, like we see with Jim on page 36, he was so resentful, and it took him out. And I don't want to go back where I came from. I want to continue to recover. I want to continue to move forward. And even though my brain tells me, yes, maybe my resentment is justified, I don't want to carry around that baggage. I appreciate the person who shared that they'd like to weigh all the troubles that they came in with. This one feels really big to me. About 4 months ago, my mom said she's never liked me. She doesn't want anything to do with me. It was horrible. And I don't want to carry that around. So the tool that I have to work with today, I found in page 52. Again, like I'm doing stuff and working for all of this. But there's some suggestions about praying for those people for 2 weeks. And if you haven't read that story, it's a great one. So I have it on my calendar. Every single night, I am praying for my mother to get anything and everything I could ever imagine for myself. It suggests to pray for those things, even if I don't necessarily believe it, to kind of act as if. And I will say, like, the other reading today that resonates for me is the sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. So I've been swimming around in this for a couple months. It's a very painful experience, but that doesn't mean I can give up and that, like, suddenly my resentment is justified. It means that I need to continue to work for them. And I think that's another interesting piece, back again on page 552, how it talks about, again, things will materialize if you continue to work for it. And if I'm not over it in 2 weeks, you bet your ass I'm just going to keep praying and praying and praying because I'm not going to give up. I think we're all sick human beings and there are things that we do and don't do. And I'm just really grateful for all the recovery on the line. And thank you guys for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie F. The lines are open for about four more people to share if you would like to. I'll take your name.
Polly Q.
Brandy M.
Brandy and Polly. Connie. I heard Polly first, actually.
Connie C. from.
Gotcha, Connie.
Thanks. Jenna.
Shannon S. Let's go with those four for today and see what happens. We might have room for another. So I have Polly Q, Brandy M., Connie C. and Shannon S. Go ahead, Polly Q.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Hi, this is Polly Q, recovered in Northern California. I'm always amazed at the book because I'm always amazed as many times as I've read it how much there's still more to catch. And when I was listening to everyone, I realized that what hits me is they will always materialize if we work for them. But it's the paragraph that immediately follows, the step that immediately follows, that makes that line so relevant. It's the timing of it. Because I've always, one of my big realizations in recovery is that God's in charge of timing. And so I don't think that there's even any mistake in the sequence that this book was written. And so that's the thing is that and I've heard this in many shares, is that by the time we get to these steps, we're ready for these promises, right? And we want to keep them. And then, you know, step 10 is going to come. And I used to ignore step 10. You know, I didn't really know. I was like, yeah, all right. You know, I paid it a lot of lip service and I did it kind of half-assed, but not no more, baby. 10, 11, and 12 is the work. It is the work that I am doing in order to have and to keep these promises. And whenever I, you know, it's just been inevitable in the course of being recovered and staying recovered is that when I start to slip, when I start to feel self-pity is the one that really nails me. And I never used to understand that, but it nails me. And when it does, I realize, wow, you know, how am I doing? Am I doing my 10 steps every day? Am I making these calls? Am I reaching out to others? Am I sponsoring? Am I thinking of others, you know, or is it just still all about my introspective work? Is it just me and God still, you know, because it's got to be the we. You know, it's about working with the we, and that is what keeps me able to have to maintain these promises. It's what keeps God being able to reach me so that I can have these promises. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Polly Q. Brandy M., followed by Connie C. Brandy M, star one, please, to be heard. Hey, there you are.
Hey, mm-hmm. It's Brandy M, recovered compulsive reader in Edmonton, Canada.
Oh, the promises, such great things you heard on the line this morning. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with me, because I need to hear it. I love the fact that we will intuitively know how to handle situations with you, which used to baffle us. In my disease, I was constantly trying to figure stuff out and, you know, thinking and, you know, planning and just trying to orchestrate everything that I thought I wanted. And so many times in that process, it would end in collision and constant fighting. And, you know, and I was just trying to figure it out. And I was just trying to do what I thought I knew. And the gift of this program is that I no longer have to figure anything out anymore. That, you know what, when something comes up and I don't know how to handle it, it's okay, one, to say, I don't know, and not have to have the answers, especially in my professional life and with my kids, and just to be like, yeah, it's okay not to know. That doesn't mean I'm, you know, not smart. That doesn't mean that I'm not good enough. I just don't know at this moment, because then I need to seek God's will and ask Him, you know, what is your will for me? What's the next right action in this situation? And not react right away, because I'm a huge reactor. I reacted on life. And today I don't need to do that. I can sit and be patient and wait for the answers. And they always come if I wait. But there's always still that humanness too within me that does react. And then the beautiful thing about this program is that I have tools now to deal with that humanness. And, you know, I heard somebody say earlier that, you know, that if we continue to work for it, the promises will continue to come true. And, you know, I need to check in every day. Am I staying connected to God? Am I running the show? What's going on here? And being really conscious of that, because it's really easy for me to start running the show again. And am I working with others? You know, am I being a sponsor? Am I helping others? Am I picking up my phone? Because in my disease, I didn't want to talk to you. I didn't want to have anything to do with my phone and talking on it about program. And so, you know, when my phone rings, if I'm available, I need to pick it up. And, you know, just constantly seeking what's the next right action and continuing to do this work one day at a time. I'm so grateful for all of you on the line and that I, you know, stumbled upon this huge gift of the Big Book after 20 years in the program, because life's a lot different today. And I thank you for that. But with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Brandy M. Next up is Connie C. And then Shannon S. will follow you. Connie C.
Hi, here I am. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. So I'm Connie C. from Tennessee, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. And what stands out the most to me today is the word suddenly. And a few weeks ago, I know I'll cry, but I mean, I was the most exhausted I've been in my lifetime. And I sat with a minister and just said, you know, my counselor wants me to go away for some trauma treatment. And this month marks 4 years since my then 16-year-old son was diagnosed with cancer. And we were camped out at St. Jude for 3 years. And the last year was all side effects, and I just had nothing left to give at all. So what I didn't realize, and the way suddenly comes into this, is that I went to the most ideal place I ever could have ended up in West Virginia, and the amazing person that was working with me, what I thought was going to be trauma treatment, ended up being a moment where addiction came up. And I had been very involved in OA in the 90s and had achieved abstinence that I treasured until a day when something happened that I just lost it over it. And so for 22 years, I've been wandering back. But here in this moment, this woman said to me, this is what you got. Some people got diabetes. Some people got cancer. You got this. And now you go make a life with this and figure out how to love you with this, but you can't. And she had a very thick accent without God's help. And I just hear her saying, this is what you got. And then it was a silent retreat. She was the only one I spoke to for days. And being able to sit in this little hermitage in this space doing daily study and having time with God, I cried and cried and cried until this connection just became beautiful. And she gave me somebody's number with OA, and I thought, well, maybe I'll try again. So I've been on a call every day for 21 days, got a sponsor, newly into abstinence, figuring out how to live with what I got and making something precious and beautiful, because that's what God keeps telling me that I am. And so barely into abstinence Tuesday night. I'm like, well, I got 1.5 days. I got all these people coming tonight for dinner. Why not start again tomorrow? And my phone, and this is how suddenly God is showing up every day. And all of a sudden, there comes a text from my son, who's now 20, had over 1,000 doses of chemo, because that's what he got. And he said, just want you to know, Mom, how much I love you. Have fun tonight. I'm so proud of you. And I am just as surrendered as I can be. So I'm so grateful to each of you. I'm grateful for a friend that led me to this vision group and for the sponsor that's come out of it. And it feels so good to be alive again and have energy coming back. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Connie C. Shannon S., you'll be the last person to share today. Welcome to you before we close out.
This is Shannon Ash. Did you call me, Melanie?
I did. Hey, good morning.
Hey, Melanie. Thanks a lot. This is Shannon, a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Thanks for your service, Melanie. Thanks, everybody, for the shares and for this meeting. So I love the promise to intuitively know how to handle those situations with you, Sebastian. And it brought me back to when I first came in. And actually, that promise baffled me, because I didn't have any situation that would baffle me. I knew what was supposed to happen, what everybody was supposed to do. I had all the answers. There was nothing that baffled me. All that baffled me is why people didn't know Shannon's rules for life and didn't know what I knew and what it wasn't doing those things. And I actually was just having, and that makes me laugh, because the more I quote-unquote know, the more I realize I don't know. And I was just having this beautiful conversation with my husband the other day about in so many areas of my life how I have, quote unquote, known more, but really I feel like I've experienced more. And so it's actually more wisdom, because it's not just head knowledge. It's heart knowledge and it's experiential knowledge. I realized just how much I don't know. And now more than ever, I realize so many other situations which do baffle me. Today, it's so freeing to be able to say, I don't know what to do here. I need help, because then I can let in God and I can let in other people, and I don't have to do it on my own. And I was just doing some step work myself, and I was writing a letter, and I was writing a letter about reflecting on the fact that growing up, I didn't have anyone to protect me, or at least the people that I felt like were supposed to protect me and love me. Somebody's unmuted. That I couldn't go to them. And so I became self-reliant from a very, very early age. And so to break that self-reliance is a constant day-by-day, moment-by-moment challenge, because I can be off and running and self-sold without even realizing it. So I'm very, very far down the scale. But to not operate in self-will is so, so free. It's that paradox of the program, you know. I surrender to win. I give up, and I fall under God's protection and care, and then I gain freedom. So I get hemmed in, and then I gain that freedom to really stretch my wings and fly. And I was thinking earlier, something that I would say to my students when I was teaching and when I was a student, is that it's much easier to get an A than to maintain an A. And to me, that is my experience. It's much easier for me to get recovery and to get recovered than to maintain my recovered status because there's a lot of things that come along with that. But one of those is being humble and admitting what I don't know and keep doing that work and remembering what it was like to be back in the trenches of the disease so that that spurs me on day by day to do what I need to do to work this program. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, Shannon S. And that will close out the recorded portion of our meeting with the sharing part. Stay with us. We have more yet to come after we have closed out and stopped the recording here. And thank you to everyone that shared this morning. I would like to ask Marilyn T. to please read page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer.
Thank you, Melanie C. This is Marilyn T. from Northern California, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Page 164 of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the happy road of destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.